your hands, Lord. Speak to our hearts as we look to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 40. And we continue our walk through the book of Genesis. Last week we ran from sin and walked with God. And this morning we're going to continue in the story of our dear friend Joseph. And I would say that there's been some things in my life that have not gone my way, but I've not had to walk through many of the things that Joseph had to walk through. Let me give you an update from our churches in Wyoming and in Colorado. We found them healthy and well and actually flourishing. We enjoyed our time there. The team did a great job. We were in Parker, Colorado on Friday and Saturday. Saturday morning we went door-to-door in neighborhoods around where they meet. There's a park in the community there, O'Brien Park, and they held service in that park. And we saw some folks that came out to that service, and the church is doing well. They normally meet in a school, but it was 70 degrees or so most days, right? It was nice. It was nice. And I think we brought a little bit of it back. Amen. And so that's praise the Lord. They have baptism service this evening. They'll be baptizing 7 new believers. And so we rejoice in that for Cross Family Church there in Parker, Colorado. Pray for Bryce and April Orich, the pastor and his wife and family. The only thing about their family I didn't like was they were rooting for the other team against LSU last week. But that's okay. We still enjoyed the visit. Don't stop your support because of that. Amen. Even those besides Tigers need Jesus too. All right. And so pray for them. Then we drove up to Wyoming, about a 4.5-hour drive from Parker. Beautiful scenery along the Rocky Mountains there. And we spent the rest of the week with our friends at Outfitter Church in Bar None, Wyoming. And we invited the whole neighborhood to our Beast Feast, had a good crowd at the Beast Feast, had 7 men that prayed to receive Christ at the Beast Feast, and then we had about 20 others that asked for somebody to reach out to them about their walk with Jesus. And so we rejoice in that, but just good, healthy church plants there in Parker and in Bar None, Wyoming. And so we rejoice in how God is taking care of them. Please continue your faithfulness in your giving. If you give at all to East Leesville Baptist Church, you help support our church plants. You say, how's that? Well, if you just give to our regular offering, a good 2.5% of every dollar that comes in goes to One World One Mission, supports our church plants. If you give the One World One Mission, obviously, you are supporting our church plants. If you give the next 75, 10% of every dollar that comes in the next 75 goes to missions. And so, if you don't know what any of those are, I'd encourage you to find out, and we'll talk more about it in the days ahead. And so, that's good news. I've got some tough news. I was out yesterday morning, got a phone call from Lynn Tanner. Wayne and Lynn Tanner were down in San Antonio. Wayne was competing in the national shooting competition down there. He does every year. And when they were leaving, they had a bad accident. And Wayne has suffered some type of head trauma. They did surgery yesterday afternoon. He came through surgery. They have him sedated. Lynn was hurt some in the wreck as well, but she may be discharged today. They're still kind of testing her and trying to figure out what's going on with Lynn. But it's a serious situation. And so most of us know Wayne and Lynn. They go to the 11 o'clock service. They're not normally in this service, but they are faithful, longtime members of East. Wayne is a deacon, and they have been part of our church family for a long, long time. And so pray for Wayne and Lynn, their daughter and 2 sons. Pray for Natalie and Daniel, who are some of our missionaries we supported in Haiti until Haiti got too dangerous for missionaries from the U.S. to be there. And Daniel and Natalie's daughter, Reagan, was having emergency appendectomy surgery yesterday when they got the news about Wayne's head trauma. And so my wife and I are going to head to San Antonio after church today because... I just want to put eyes on them. And so just pray for Wayne and for Lynn, and that we would lift them up and love them well, even though it's from a distance. Praise the Lord. We had a church member that was in Austin. Donis Poe was at a training in Austin, and she went up to went over across wherever geographically San Antonio is and sat with Lynn. And then Lynn DeYoung has a daughter who was great friends with Lynn's daughter Natalie, and she was there. I had a pastor friend who was on the mission trip with us. His team was there in Wyoming. He sent one of his staff members from his church over. And so Miss Lynn was not by herself yesterday. And so we thank God for that. The Lord took care of that. But just be praying as they walk through this season together. Amen. Church, let's stop. right now, and I'll just ask you to join me as we pray for God to bring healing in this situation. Amen. Lord, Wayne and Lynn are yours. They love you. They have trusted you long ago with their lives, with their souls, with their eternity. And we just put them in your hands right now. Lord, I specifically ask that you would bring physical healing to his body, but we trust you. I pray you would grant grace and peace to his son that is already there, to the son that is on the way, and to the daughter who can't leave her sick daughter in the hospital to go and check on her mom and dad right now. I pray you grant exactly what they need moment by moment. Lord, I pray that you help my sister Lynn just rest and recover herself, and that she would have your peace and your grace around her. And Lord, may we as a church family, not only now in situations like this, but would you enable us to love one another even more fully? May you grant to us love for one another that we did not even believe and think or understand could be possible, that we would care well for one another. Lord, in times like these, and in the day-to-day walk with Jesus, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would also, whatever your theology might be when it comes to the nation of Israel, it's interesting days. There's going to be a lot of preachers. That's all they talk about today. And it might be worthy of a service. All I know is Jesus is on the throne. But when something happens over there, I kind of pay attention. And I don't even watch the news anymore. And so just be praying. They have declared war, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so pray for all that's happened there. The Prime Minister of Israel compared this to their 9/11. And if you remember how you felt on 9/11, that's how our the folks in Israel are feeling today. And there's always a lot of Americans in Israel as well. There's always a lot of Americans there. And so we pray for that nation. We are in an interesting part of this journey of Joseph. He's been mistreated by his brothers. Now, maybe he shouldn't have shared his dreams that they were going to bow to him, right? Maybe that wasn't the brightest thing that Joseph ever did. If I had a dream like that, I'd probably share it with you too, just not thinking it was necessarily real, but like, hey, dude, in my dream, y'all bowing to me. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know if Joseph really saw them as God's prophecy on his life. I think he did in some measure. I think he did. I think even Jacob, Israel, pondered these things. Like, what is God up to here? But that didn't end well. His brothers sold him into slavery. And then he rises up in prominence in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar trusts him with his whole household. The problem was Potiphar had a wife who couldn't be trusted. And so Joseph gets in trouble. Even though he does the honorable thing, all I would say is just don't even be in a building alone with a woman that's not your wife. Amen? Don't be alone with a woman that's not your wife. Y'all hear me? Don't be alone with a woman that's not your wife or your grandma or your aunt or your mate. You know, I mean, just be careful. But he fled. He did the right thing. He shot out of there. He ran from that, yet she was dishonorable, and he was thrown into prison. Unjustly, he did not do anything wrong. And Joseph could have been very American at this point and just start whining about his circumstances. Well, maybe that's Baptist. I don't know. He could have said, man, this is unfair. God, I'm done with you. And yet, God's hand is still upon him. And he rises to prominence in jail. I didn't know that was possible. But in Joseph's case, God's hand is upon him. And finish up in Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, I'm telling you, if God could grant me one answered prayer, is that God would be with me, not for my good, not for my benefit, but for his glory. God is with Joseph. God's hand is upon Joseph. And yet, Joseph finds himself in jail. That's not the American dream. That's not the Baptist dream. But that is God's plan for Joseph at this moment. None of this has surprised God. We pick up in chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime after this, how long has he been in jail? We don't know. Sometime after this. I would imagine from the time he got there to the time he rose to prominence to the time that we get here to chapter 40, verse 1, is probably a matter of years, not days. We don't know for sure. We know that he leaves his brothers around 17. He's going to be in Pharaoh's service here in a little bit at the age of 30. So for these 13 years, he is in Potiphar's house and he's in jail. And so however long that is, it is sometime after this. What meaning after this? After his arrest, after his false accusations from Potiphar's wife. And so sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. So the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, these are high-ranking officials in Pharaoh's. They handle his food and his drink. And the best way to try to get rid of a leader is to poison his food and his drink. And so these guys were trusted with the very life of Pharaoh. But they did something that Pharaoh did not like, and enough so that he didn't have them killed, so it wasn't, well, not yet anyway, for at least one of them, but he didn't have them put to death, but he had them put in prison. And then Joseph is placed in charge, and Joseph is caring for them, and Joseph is helping to meet their needs while they are in prison. And then the dreams come. Verse 5, and one night they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." It appears that God had given Joseph some measure of being able to interpret dreams. And Joseph reminds them that anything that is good, anything that he is able to do is of the Lord. God would be the one to enable that. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossom shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them in the Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And so the cupbearer had a dream about vines and grapes and the number three. And then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. And then Joseph makes what we don't see very often in his story. He makes a plea for himself. He says, "Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." So the cupbearer's dream is in 3 days he'll be restored. And Joseph says, "Hey, you're going to be in the Pharaoh's house. You're going to be with the king. Would you please tell him my story? Get me out of this place." It's not a whining. It's not a complaining. It's a request. And if you and I had been in prison and we thought there was somebody that could get us out, we would ask the same. And so Joseph makes his plea. Then the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable. He said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you." That's not a pleasant interpretation. "And hang you on a tree and the birds will eat the flesh from me. I can't imagine that the baker was thrilled to hear this interpretation. Your head will be lifted up from you. Probably what happened was he was beheaded and his head was hung for the animals, the birds, to eat his flesh. It's gross. But he is going to be executed according to Joseph's interpretation of the dream. 3 days, the cupbearer is going to be restored. In 3 days, the baker will be executed. Now, here's the deal. If anybody ever claims to have the interpretation of dreams, it's meaningless unless they are actually correct. You ever notice after 9/11, Miss Cleo went away? Y'all remember Miss Cleo? You got to be a little bit old. You got to be like 40 plus, 50 plus. Miss Cleo is on every commercial break in TV history, it seemed like. And she could predict what was going to happen. She knew what was going on. But none of these so-called psychics predicted 9/11. None of them saw it coming. None of them, they kind of went out of business for a few years. There's a lot of nonsense out there that will take your money with Chinese fortune cookie type generic predictions. There are some that might be able to give some interpretation of the future or of dreams that are demonically guided and strengthened. And I would not play around with this world because we have the very Word of God. Now, could God use a dream to speak to us? I believe He could, but I'm just trying to figure out why He would when we have the Word of God. Now, in latter days, it says that old men have visions and young men have dreams or vice versa. I got it. I'm kind of having an old man. I'm going to probably have whichever ones the old men have. Amen, y'all, right? But just we have the very Word of God. But Joseph is found to be gifted and correct. Look at verse 20 with me. On the third day, so 3 days later, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. It's his birthday. Going to have a party. Part of my party is I'm going to get my cupbearer back and I'm going to cut the head off my baker. That's not a party I want to go to. But Joseph has been found to be gifted and correct in these interpretations. And remember Joseph's plea. When you're out and it's well with you, remember me. And get me out of this house. Then we see the last verse of chapter 40. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph asked very strongly, when it is well with you, remember me. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph. Now we're going to leak into chapter 41 just for a verse. Just for a verse. Actually, just for a part of a verse. After 2 whole years. After 2 whole years. Chapter 41, verse 1. After 2 whole years, Joseph's thinking, hey man, this might be my chance. I've been wrongly treated. I don't belong here. Yes, God's hand is on me. I'm grateful for that. But man, hopefully I'm getting out of this place. The cupbearer goes. He's like, hey, it probably came news to him. Hey, you know what? You interpreted those dreams rightly. The cupbearer is serving Pharaoh, and the baker's hanging out in the square. That's probably not the best way to put it, but anyway. But you were right. And Joseph said, oh man, the cupbearer's got to remember me. He's got to talk to Pharaoh. Maybe, could you imagine the next day he wakes up and says, maybe today. But then for 2 whole years. Now I believe he got back to faithfully walking with God and serving the Lord day by day. He stayed the course. But for 2 whole years, he is forgotten. Let me give you a few takeaways and I'm done. Number one. Any gift God gives us is to be used for His glory and His fame and not our own. Any gift that God gives us is to be used for His glory and His fame and not our own. What did Joseph say? Hey, I can interpret your dream. I can do this. I've got this gift. Oh, I'm good at this. Oh, and really, if he hadn't been a man of God, just give me $20. That's usually where it goes, right? But Joseph, what did Joseph? Do not interpretations belong to God? He pointed to God. He pointed in his every way of his life, even in his trials, even in his struggles. He pointed to God. Everything you have is His. The only reason you breathe your next breath, the only reason I breathe my next breath is to bring glory to God. We talk about in our family sometimes when we walk the Lord, how much should we give to the ministry? How much should we give to the church? That's the wrong question. The question is, how much should we keep of God's money? How are we going to use God's resources that He's granted us? Our time, our finances, our resources, our talents, our homes, our children. All that has been entrusted to us, it is His. So, no, I earned that, preacher. You'd be a greasy spot on a sidewalk if it weren't for God's grace. Nothing you have is yours. Nothing I have is mine. We are managers. You know how I know? Give it 100 years and see if it's yours still. Hopefully, I hope there's some of it that'll be belonging to somebody whose last name is Kiker, or at least used to be Kiker, but it's not going to be mine, I can assure you this. Every gift we have is to be used for His glory and His fame, not our own. Number two, even in the midst of our trials, God gives us the encouragement we need when we need it. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Joseph had dreams as a young boy. Dreams that he thought showed him given authority and ruling over his brothers and even his family, even his father. Joseph felt that these dreams meant something about how God was going to use him. But things have not gone according to Joseph's plans. Things have not gone how Joseph thought they might would go. But now Joseph meets this cupbearer and he meets this baker and he hears of their dreams and he is able by the grace of God and the gift of God to rightly interpret these dreams. And so I believe Joseph sitting there, even though he said, man, that rascal forgot me, but yet he is reminded that God is with him. Even in the pit. Even in the prison. He's like, man, it's not going like I wanted it to. My 10-year plan is not working out the way that I thought it was. My dream board has busted. Dream board. Anyway. And yet, God gives him, don't forget, I'm with you. Don't forget, I'm with you. You may find this hard to believe. I don't think you would, but there's some days when ministry is tough. I've never had an inkling of wanting to quit. But there's some days I just want to lay down, take a nap, and not wake up for a day or two. You all right? You good? You with me? But God always gives you what you need it, when you walk with Him. Now, if you're rebelling against Him, I don't think you have any reason to expect that you're going to receive His blessing or receive His grace or receive His strength or receive His provision. But when you walk with Him, you can trust Him. Doesn't mean everything's going to go your way. I think Joseph would argue against that nonsense that you hear on TV sometimes from TV preachers. You just have enough faith, have enough courage, give me enough money is usually what it gets down to. You'll never have sickness. You'll never have trials. Liar. Pants on fire. Amen. Be faithful. Just nonsense. But you can have, by the promises of God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Oh, we met a lady here. First name is Shanna. On the sidewalk in Parker. Troubled. Searching. And I looked at her and said, Shanna, you seem interested. You seem like you're looking for something. What are you looking for? She said, I'd love just to be at peace. said, well, I know the Prince of Peace. And she allowed me to share the entire gospel. But as I shared the gospel, she had a physical response where she just began to shake. It's going to freak some of y'all out, but I believe it was either demonic oppression. I don't think it was possession. You say, preacher, you believe in that? You read your Bible later? Probably drugs or trauma or something going on in her life. She came to the service on Sunday morning at the park. And she left real quickly, but there's a couple ladies from the pray for Shanna. She desired peace. Can I tell you this? You will never have peace until you walk with Jesus. You may have moments where you think there's peace, but there will not be peace without Jesus Christ. God gives us what we need when we need it, when we're walking with Him. You see, when I was a little kid, I walked pretty close to my daddy. I remember one time we had this big snowfall. Snow and ice. It was thick. And I weighed a lot less back then. And we were sledding on the hill. And I couldn't get up the hill because my feet would not. I couldn't even stomp a hole into the ground. It was too heavy. I would walk a little bit and I'd slide down. But then when I walked behind my daddy, he would stomp enough to make imprints. And I could walk in his steps and I could safely get to the top of the hill. Now, a lot of us need to quit trying to get to the top of the hill ourselves and walk with Daddy and let Him lead the way. Number three, God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is not our timing. And God doesn't work on our pace. 2 years, after two whole years, sometime after this, from 17 to 30, Joseph is not living his best life according to the world's standards. But God has not quit working. All the circumstances in Joseph's life have been for a reason, and none have surprised God. None. And God's timing is perfect. I read this from one of the commentators I read. It was this week. I was reading through some extra stuff while we were in Wyoming. And what if the cupbearer had remembered Joseph and said, hey, Pharaoh, I got out of prison, and this guy that was in my cell, he was able to interpret dreams, and he was wrongly accused. And if you would just do me the favor of just blessing him, and what if Pharaoh said, hey, Joseph, you're free to go. Go on back about your business. How many thousands would have perished because Joseph wouldn't have been there to interpret Pharaoh's dreams? You see, Joseph could have been released from his suffering into what the world would see as freedom, but he would have missed God's glory and plan for his life. Did you hear me? If we feel any sense of suffering, what do we normally? God, bring me out of it. God, get me out of it. God, get me out. What if? We got to stay in that just long enough for God to do in us what He needs to do so He can do through us what He desires to do for His glory and for the good of everyone around us. And we want to run from it instead of walking with Him in it. Oh, what's that song? God moved every mountain. Yes, He can. Yes, He will. I actually like that group. They've got some really good songs I like, but that part of that song just bugs me, because He's not going to move every mountain every time. He's just not. Sometimes you've got to climb that mountain. Sometimes you've got to sit on that mountain. Sometimes you got to look and stare at that mountain until God gets you ready for what's next. Can He move the mountain? Yeah, He can move it. Without even thinking about it, He can move it. Without even any effort, He can move it. He can destroy every mountain in your life if He so will. But can you just imagine, maybe it's there for a reason other than just for Him to take it out of the way. Maybe you need to man up and woman up a little bit, walk with God, and see what God does as you climb the mountain. Can I just tell you, on top of the mountain, it's nice. You know what you're asking God to do when you ask Him to move every mountain that ever gets in your way? Lord, I just want to stay in the valleys. We stayed in an Airbnb on the mountaintop in Casper. That was about half the price of hotel rooms, and it was a lot nicer. I saw more turkeys there than I do in a deacon's meeting at East. Amen. I mean, it's just a lot of... I didn't even plan to say that, but it was good. But you know, that little hybrid Chrysler Pacific, every once in a while, it groaned a little bit going up that mountain. And one guy on our trip decided he wanted to run on them hills. I said, man, the car's working. You ain't got to do that. I mean, it's a little tougher running those hills than it is flat. But man, the views are nicer. Sometimes God puts the mountains there for a reason. To show you how great He is and to show you the great things He has planned for your life. Don't miss the journey. Don't miss the lesson. But have the confidence God's got you. And here's the deal. You can't have that confidence when you're walking in rebellion to a holy God. You're saying, God loves me, everything's going to be fine. Yeah, I mean, God loves you. That's absolute truth. Everything's going to be fine? Nah. Not when you keep walking in sin. It's not. You're going to reap what you sow. We will reap what we sow. And really, when you're rebelling against God, I don't think there's any place you can have any confidence whatsoever that everything's going to be okay, because you're going to reap what you sow. But as we walk with God, not perfectly, we're not able, but consistently and faithfully, we can have a confidence that He is guiding our steps. Even when your brothers throw you in a pit and sell you into slavery. Even when you're falsely accused by your boss's wife that you made an advance at her. Even when the world forgets about you. It says the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but God did. Your pastor sometimes will let you down, but God won't. Your friends will disappoint you occasionally, but God will never forget you. And I just exhort you, walk with Him. If you're not doing that already, our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Say, preacher, how do you walk with God? It's like any other relationship. You spend time with Him. You spend time with Him. There's a nice wood kitchen table in the Airbnb, and I sat on the end of that every morning, and I walked with God. I spent time with God, and then I got to drive down the mountain and look in the rearview mirror and think, yep, there's a God. He created all that behind me. Was it a perfect week? No. Was it a great week? Yeah. But I had confidence as I walked with God that He's going to direct our steps. Preacher, you got any concerns in your life? No. Yeah, I do. But I am confident that as I walk with God, He will work it all out to His glory and to our good. But if you're walking in sin, you will not have that peace. You will not have that confidence. Preacher, if I walk with God, will I never have any other trials or struggle or heartache? Ah, man. You're going to have trials and struggle and heartache. You are. You're going to have trials and struggle and heartache. You hear me? But you don't have to walk through it without Jesus. You don't have to walk through it without a church family that can come alongside of you and walk with you in the journey. And you can have a confidence that God's not done and this is not our home. I don't know exactly what I'm going to find in San Antonio with my brother Wayne. I don't know exactly how bad the situation is. But I do know in the conversations he and I have had over the last 5 years that he is his. And I have a confidence, and I know it's going to be okay. The greatest gift you can give those that love you is that they know that you belong to Jesus. If your funeral is this Friday, your family will grieve, your family will mourn, but would they have the comfort of knowing, Mom walked with Jesus, Dad belonged to Jesus, brother was Jesus' child. Sister belonged to Jesus. what's your testimony right where you sit. Trials and heartaches and struggles, they're either coming or you're in the middle of them right now or you just left them. One of the three. But are you walking with Jesus? Father, in a room this size, there's dozens that need to make a step in the right direction to walk with Jesus. There's several, maybe even dozens, that need to surrender for the first time in their lives to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or there's some that are walking in just complete rebellion against God, and they know it. And they have no peace, they have no comfort, they have no joy, none of the fruit of the Spirit, because they're not walking filled with the Spirit. Lord, have your way. Remind us that you are always working. Nothing surprises you. Your timing is perfect. And oftentimes, the struggles, the mountains that we have to climb, they are there for a reason. They are there for a purpose, to do in us what needs to happen for us to be ready for what you have in store for us. Lord, just give us grace to surrender day by day and to walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, this morning,